We continue. It is the Jake Asman Show right here, Sports Map Radio. Joining us on our progressive guest line to share his expert opinion on everything going on with Deshaun Watson is Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike is as good as anyone with this story. He has a law background, and he's been covering the NFL for such a long time over at Pro Football Talk. Mike, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I mean, Mike, you look at this story, and there's been so many twists and turns already. I mean, where are we at right now with Deshaun Watson? And as we sit right here, 16 civil cases that have been filed against him.
Well, it's surprisingly gotten very quiet over the past day or so. I think Thursday morning was the first time since the story broke that we didn't have a segment on our morning show that's on Peacock TV, PFT Live, that was devoted to the latest development. I mean, we cover the story based upon the developments, and it really has died down since the back-and-forth statements from Rusty Harden, who represents Deshaun Watson, on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday. Yeah, I'm getting my days mixed up. Tuesday, he made his statement. Tony Busby, who represents the plaintiffs, had a response late Tuesday night. Wednesday, for the most part, there were no developments, no new cases, no efforts by either lawyer to try to win in the court of public opinion. But it's still in a very strange, preliminary, and tenuous spot for Deshaun Watson. And if he's going to fight all of these cases, 16 filed, maybe 8 more on the way, possibly more than that, this thing can ultimately go haywire for him on a variety of fronts, whether it's the money he spends defending himself, even if he wins all the cases, the verdicts he could end up having to pay, the impact on his career, and the possibility that is still looming of a criminal prosecution.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk with us here. Here in Houston, a lot of people were familiar with both Rusty Harden and Tony Busby. They're two big power player lawyers in the city. You know, from looking at it from the outside, though, Mike, and your background, what have been your thoughts on the approach that both lawyers are taking so far?
Well, first with Busby, and I'd never heard of Busby before this case, I personally don't like a lot of the things he's done. I practiced law for 18 years, and those weren't the kind of public tactics that I was comfortable with. I feel like at times he has been a little over the top. I think at times he's been disingenuous. For example, when he calls a press conference to say that the cases aren't about publicity during a press conference, that doesn't ring true to me. When he says it's not about the money and he tries to cite the fact that the cases seek the jurisdictional minimum, that doesn't mean they're limited to $500 per case. That just means there has to be at least $500 in controversy before you can get in the door. So that's disingenuous as well. And the way that he tried to downplay the fact that he has no connection to the Texans by not knowing Cal McNair's name, Cal or Hal or whatever his name is, that doesn't pass the smell test either. But Busby has been effective in large part because Deshaun Watson's camp went a full week with silence. And there were issues, I believe, with Rusty Harden's statement, including the necessary and implicit but clear admission that Deshaun Watson sets up these massages, apparently with the possibility of sexual activity somewhere on the radar screen.
Looking ahead to just a timeline for all this, that seems to be the biggest question that Texans fans want to know. Like, how long do you think this could take to litigate? How long to get some sort of idea on where things are headed with Deshaun Watson?
Civil cases usually take anywhere from 12 to 18 months. You've got 30 days to respond to the original complaint that's filed in every case. And then at some point after that, and different states, different courts, different counties, state versus federal, they're all different in how they proceed. But usually at some point after the answer is filed, then there's a scheduling conference and the judge will pick a trial date and then everything works backward from there. That's how it usually works. And like I said, 12 to 18 months is typically the time period. I'm sorry for the barking dog in the background, but she gets stirred up easily whenever someone visits. But anyway, I'd say anywhere from a year to 18 months to up to 2 years for the cases, for the civil cases. That's independent of the NFL investigation, and that's independent of any potential prosecution.
We're talking with Mike Florio here on the Jake Asman Show. Of course, you can watch Mike on Pro Football Talk, Peacock TV, and as you heard him just mention, 18 years with a law background, so he's the perfect guy to have on to talk about this Deshaun Watson situation. Do you think, Mike, that it was a mistake by Deshaun Watson and his camp maybe not to just settle out of court originally when the initial offer came from Busby? Had Deshaun, had he done that, do you think we're here right now with 16 civil cases filing against him?
Yeah, look, regardless of whether he's guilty or not, and if he's guilty, he deserves to have some sort of a reckoning. And there needs to be an adjustment to the way that he conducts himself. Setting that aside, because we don't know, and we never will know with certainty whether or not he's guilty of the things he's accused of. But with each additional case, it becomes harder and harder to explain this away as whatever it would be explained away as, an accident, an embellishment, something that was consensual that now isn't consensual, whatever. The explanation, it's difficult to go 16-0 and maybe 24-0 in these cases. But I agree that an opportunity was missed to address this, resolve this, manage this before it became the biggest story in the NFL. And one of the concerns I think that Watson's camp would express is that, well, if you settle one, what do you do with the others and how many others are out there? And my response is, you know, if you can't keep track of how many people have given you a massage through this effort on social media to find massage therapists, if you can't keep track of it, that's on you, and that's part of the reason to have some sort of a reckoning and accounting and a changing of your ways moving forward. And so, right or wrong, innocent or guilty, I think it's incumbent on Deshaun Watson to realize that his own behavior is one of the reasons why he's in this mess. And I've advocated, even though I think the opportunity was missed to resolve these cases before it became a big deal, I've advocated that Rusty Harden get together with Tony Busby and they set up a mediation session which would involve a retired judge, an experienced lawyer, presiding over efforts to get all of these cases settled, get this resolved, get this behind Deshaun Watson as soon as possible, take the reckoning, make sure that the victims are satisfied with the outcome. You know, a good mediation means both sides are a little bit upset with the final result. But I know from experience, you get everybody in the same room and you start working on trying to resolve these differences, there automatically becomes a momentum toward everyone, if they have the right mindset and the right attitude, working toward getting the cases resolved. That would be the best outcome for Deshaun Watson, given the current situation.
Mike Florio here sharing his insights on everything going on with Deshaun Watson. Mike, I think, you know, you might have a better answer to this than we do here in Houston. Could he end up facing criminal charges? Like that is kind of overhanging this entire situation with the mounting civil cases. There's a lot of concern that the Houston Police Department could get involved and then things could get even uglier for Deshaun Watson.
Generally speaking, my belief would be, based on what we know now, that the chances of a successful criminal prosecution would be very, very, very small. And that would make the chances of a prosecution even happening very small. Now, I can't speak for the prosecutor, and prosecutors have so much discretion in deciding who they're going to prosecute, who they're not going to prosecute. Most prosecutors don't want to take on cases that they aren't certain they will win. So they will find a way to not take on a case that's going to be premised on testimony from two different parties, with no third-party witness, limited, if any, objective evidence to cause the needle to push one way or the other, and assume that they would have this vastly different account result in a finding of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, with that said, here's the concern that I would have if I were advising Deshaun Watson. He goes forward with these civil cases. What's he going to do when he's called to testify by Tony Busby, either in a deposition or at trial? Is he going to invoke his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination? If you do that, you're forfeiting the civil cases, because there's no way you're going to win if the plaintiff says this is what happened and Deshaun Watson says, I invoke my Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. You lose the civil case. If you decide instead to testify and defend yourself and get twisted into a pretzel by Tony Busby, you may be giving a roadmap to a prosecutor who could then take that testimony and decide to go forward with a prosecution. So that's why I believe it needs to get resolved. And that's one of the reasons why I think Tony Busby is pushing the prosecution angle. I think he wants Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson to recognize that the longer this lasts and the closer Deshaun Watson gets to being put under oath, the more and more closely he enters a minefield, and there's no good way out of it for Deshaun Watson. And it shifts from having money and his football career in jeopardy to having his liberty in jeopardy.
The host of PFT Live, Mike Florio, with us here breaking down the Deshaun Watson situation. Mike, looking at it from a football perspective here, do you see the scenario where Watson eventually gets placed on the commissioner's exempt list?
Well, I think it's a possibility. You know, one of the realities, the NFL keeps its cards very close to the vest and doesn't like to tip its hand, doesn't feel compelled to give teams any information. And the best example I can give, the most recent example, Antonio Brown, after he was released by the Patriots when he was sued for sexual assault and rape, and then there was a separate allegation made against him. The Patriots cut him loose. And at that point, no team would sign him because the league wouldn't say whether or not they're going to put him on the commissioner exempt list, and nobody wanted to sign Antonio Brown and then pay him to not play football. So with Deshaun Watson, I don't think the league is going to announce anything about its intention. It's just going to put him on the commissioner exempt list, or it won't. And during the offseason, when there's no football going on, there's no need to create a headline that would be covered by everyone of the commissioner putting Deshaun Watson on paid leave. So it's all guesswork for now. And with this possibility of a trade, you could end up trading for a guy who ends up not playing at all this year, and you still pay him $10 million. The Texans, if they don't trade him, may end up paying him $10 million. The only way they escape that is to cut him. I mean, this commissioner exempt list was one of the things that grew out of the scandals of 2014. Between Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, and Adrian Peterson, the league decided that there's a way to manage the bad publicity by taking a player who otherwise would be on the field. We'd be noticing him. We'd be talking about him. We'd be covering him. The broadcasts of the NFL's games would include references to him. You take him and you sideline him and you say you're still getting your money and you're out, but you still get paid until we decide what we're going to do. We decide what happens with these investigations, whatever the case may be. You could be getting into a significant expenditure just to have Deshaun Watson on your roster if the league decides he's not going to play at all this year while these cases work out.
And Mike, just based on the evidence we have so far and what we know about these cases that have been filed, I mean, what is a realistic suspension if it gets to that point for Deshaun Watson?
I don't want to speculate on that for one very important reason. The league is going to do whatever it wants to do, and it can support whatever it chooses without fear of litigation or arbitration or any meaningful challenge. They have so much discretion, so much breadth to decide what to do. But I'll say this. If he would resolve these cases today with a commitment from the individuals that they would not talk to anyone about the facts, that they wouldn't cooperate with the NFL, and the NFL has no subpoena power, the NFL can't force them to talk. You settle the cases with a confidentiality agreement, and the NFL has no way to prove that anything happened other than to grill Deshaun Watson. I still think there's a good chance he'd get suspended. When you look back at why the NFL suspended Ben Roethlisberger in 2010, and we were reading yesterday on PFT Live from some of the excerpts of the letter, you could take those same messages, those same thoughts, that same reasoning, and apply it to Deshaun Watson and conclude that based on what we know, there's reason for intervention, there's reason for discipline, there's reason for Deshaun Watson to step away from football and address this apparent habit of being massaged by a bunch of different people, and at least based on the defense as to one of the plaintiffs, that there was consensual sex, it bolsters the idea that he was at least entering into these interactions with that possibility somewhere on the radar screen. How central to the radar screen it was, we don't know. But just the mere fact that it was on the radar screen could be enough for the NFL to decide to take action.
He's Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk is where you can find him on Twitter, ProFootballTalk.com. Watch him on Peacock TV, PFT Live. Mike, I know how busy you are. Thanks so much for sharing your insight on this. You were the perfect person to have on to talk about this topic, talk about this story. So we appreciate it. And hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll be watching you on NBC.
All right. Thank you, pal.
Mike Florio with us there on our Progressive guest line. We'll take a quick break and continue. It is the Jake Asman Show right here, Sports Map Radio.
You want cash. You want to get stuff done. So what do? You buy 5-Hour Energy, of course. You upload the receipt to 5hewin.com, then find out if you've instantly won $10, $100, or even $1,000. Then you drink that 5-Hour Energy and cut through your to-do list like a hot knife through butter. 5-Hour Energy, the official sponsor of Getting Stuff Done. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 and a legal resident of the U.S. Ends June 30th, 2021. For rules, visit 5hewin.com/rules. Void where prohibited. Message and data rates may apply.